Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, this is Rhonda Harrison, host for the Roadmap for Seekers with guest Judith White today. Judith offers intuitive insights to your experiences and relationships with yourself and others. With your express permission, she offers specific information to your own energetic wisdom to clear the tangles, knots, obstructions in your energy body. She has been a student of spiritual studies for 25 years, including a recent completion of an 18-month metaphysical intensive with Lori Shriver. She channeled Joseph for 8 years with clients across the country. As a certified management consultant for 35 years with extensive work in emotional intelligence, leadership development, and organizational change, she brings this business experience to clients to clear energy for organizations. She is also a certified teacher of wisdom healing Qigong, and you know when you are ready to move to light heart, mind, and soul. You know when you are ready for healing, understanding, forgiveness, and aha. You know when you are ready to thrive in love and peace at every moment. You know when you are ready to be the change you want to see in the world by sharing your beautiful soul. That's Fitch, not Han. And with that, we're going to bring Judith into the studio. Good afternoon, Judith.
Hi, Rhonda.
How are you?
I am happy to be here. I've been so looking forward to this opportunity to spend an hour with you.
Yeah, I think the listeners are really excited about it. And, you know, I know that you have a lot of experience in this and you've been going through a lot of different transformations. Why don't we start with what your purpose is for the work?
On my website, which I just finished in the last couple of months, is the phrase from Thich Nhat Hanh, "The peace and joy of the world depends on our peace and joy at this moment." For me, that's a daily mantra, and It brings into focus our personal responsibility for the state of our lives as well as for the state of the world. These are times of such challenge and fear, and the expansion of that energy of fear is so easy and so quick to happen that it really does get in the way many times of our own personal peace and joy. And we think that it's all out there and forget that it's all in here as well. So my purpose in the work that I'm doing now is to support people through insights, guidance, and healing to find their own peace and joy in order for them to be able to individually and collectively make the greatest contribution possible to the state of the world towards that peace and joy.
And that's, you know, really what we're all trying to do, I think, right now in this time, and especially with everything that's gone on in the last week, where, you know, we're trying to find our own way to calm or nurture ourselves, you know, that we can do collectively and also individually at the same time, you know, and I think that that's part of the message is that, you know, collectively we can make a change and individually, you know, is not where the strength is now. And, you know, you go by Judith Light. How did you get your name or come up with your name?
That is indeed the event in 1986 that started my pathway toward this moment. I was visiting Canyonlands National Park in near Moab, Utah, visiting a friend. I had a consulting engagement with his organization, the National Park Service, and the deal was that I would get an exclusive personal tour from Jerry through the park on the day after. That morning, we were sitting on a rock ledge looking out to the west from a very high point in the park called Island in the Sky. Beautiful blue sky, an incredibly expansive space to be in a location like that with really nothing obstructing your view all the way to the horizon. And we're looking at plateaus and cliffs and canyons, and all the way down, way below us, was just a glimpse of the river. We were talking quietly, and I realized in an instant that across the sky in front of me, I was seeing four Native American horsemen riding beautiful horses, and I was starting to tell Jerry what I was seeing, and almost before I got it out of my mouth, they were gone, except for one man who stood just to my left in my vision, and I could see him so clearly. He was looking over his left shoulder at me. Well, for the rest of the day, he continued to be in exactly that position, and Jerry kept saying, "Is he still there?" And I'd say, "Yeah, he's still there." The next morning on my way back to Colorado Springs, my home, along I-70, I had this sudden knowing in my mind, and I can't describe it. It wasn't actually like words spoken. It's just the words were there, and not that I was reading them, but that it was just this presence. Your name is to be light. So I had another 3 or 4 hours of driving to figure out what that would be about. And of course, it wasn't a 3 or 4 hour drive. It's been 20, almost 30 years at this point that has been present for me. How do I be light? So it was an amazing beginning for me because really that was my first experience of having a vision like that and clearly guided my path all this time.
That's amazing that you have that strong of a connection, you know, that early on that carried you through all the time that you've been working in this field, and not just in the field of intuitiveness, but also with business. When you're working with businesses, how does that work? Do you work with the employees individually or in a group collective? Or
I do both. And I have probably since I was channeling in the late 90s, and then when that kind of wrapped up, is when I really began to be very conscious of how much influence I was carrying as I went into businesses and into their various offices and into individual offices to meet one-on-one with people. And I realized at a point that my presence had an impact. Regardless of what I said or did or meetings that I conducted, my presence there was the first entry point into, whether it was individuals or groups, in determining how their collective work and individual work could come together in a cohesiveness that elevated the quality of their time and energy in the workplace, as well as their satisfaction with what they were doing. And I had some really interesting conversations with people where it would be almost a sudden awareness between me and another individual. When I'd see kind of a look across a person's face, and one woman in particular I recall was resentful that she was going to have to talk to me, and she leaned up against the door of the office I was in for meetings and crossed her arms and crossed her legs and had this frown on her face. And she said, "Do I have to talk to you?" I said, "Not at all. I'd really enjoy meeting you." And it was almost as soon as I said that, that she relaxed. Posture didn't change, but she relaxed a little bit. And within a couple of minutes, she, without saying anything, she came in and sat down and closed the door. And I could feel that transmission of energy to her. I'm also aware that that happens all the time amongst us, whether we're thinking about it or not. I just became very deliberate about it in many ways. So that would mean sometimes that I was really intuitively guided to put something into the conversation or into my into the agenda on the meeting, and then send it into the group. So it really became really fun to see what would show up as a result of that, because I was so intentional about it.
Yeah, and you know, people change once sometimes they hear your voice or they feel that you're not going to threaten them in their position, you know, whereas, you know, because I'm sure they were a little hesitant, you know, some people are like, I don't have anything to change and I don't want to change anything, you know, and then, you know, they get a whole different feel once they meet you and are in your space and in that, what I would call the auric field, you know, so that they can feel the energy rather than really a lot of words at that point.
Well, I realized, thanks to some work I did with a group called Enlightened Leadership, that it's not about where other people are coming from, it's about where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
exactly.
And so holding that, you know, that just that framework that I'm light and I'm here for that purpose, that meant that where I was coming from was powerful in a way that did not get sidetracked by where other people were coming from, which is, as
mm-hmm.
you know, so easy to happen,
mm-hmm.
Which we're seeing now, of course, that, you know, what's coming from people is fear and just that entire energy of anger, and it's so powerful. And in the face of that, for each of us, especially your listeners, to hold our own peace and joy and calm in the face of that is quite a task and
mm-hmm.
quite an adventure and mission as well.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's easy to go with the crowd, but it's more interesting and more adventuresome to go with your gut and see, you know, what's really going on around me rather than, and in me rather than, you know, just taking up the world consensus or whatever. And
yes.
Going more inward to find that calm and that peace.
Well, and certainly emotions are contagious.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, thinking of it in terms of this is a viral, and we even use that word, set of emotions going on, especially right now since the violence and mayhem in Paris last week. It's just easy to watch the news or read a story about it and be completely in it. And it does seem as though fear is a lot more powerful than peace and joy at times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's we're very attuned to that, and physiologically we're tuned into that because our the amygdala in our brain is a constant radar system searching for danger. That's its job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was quite a lot simpler when dangers were, nature around you, where there you were hunting for your food, that you had to be aware and be alert. And now those threats to our safety are often physical, in traffic, or in places where we think we're safe and learn suddenly that it's not safe. So we're constantly on that heightened alert system that protects us and saves us and also runs us in many cases, because
mm-hmm.
the brain, the rational part of the brain isn't available to us when we're in that. And you can see that. You can hear
mm-hmm.
that in people's voices. They're not in thinking. They're in fear reaction.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any suggestions how to not buy into that fear reaction and to go more inward when you work with someone?
One of the things when I'm having a session with someone, or as I will be doing in a few weeks, I'll be working in a client office that it's a utility call center. And of course, when people have they don't call a utility call center to say, "Hey, my lights came on today. Thanks so much."
Yeah.
They call to say, "My lights are not on, and it's your fault, and I want them fixed right now." So it's a very high stress environment. And what I'll do with that group, for example, is I will have the names of everyone in that group before I arrive. And I'm doing 4 sessions over a period of 2 days. And I will energetically work with every single name on my attendance list. And what I'm doing mostly, and my hands are even doing it at this moment, is just a gentle energetic calming and dissipation for that individual. And I don't need to know what their story is, personal and professional, and you know, how their life is going right now. I'm simply tuning into that energy that they're carrying, and in a gentle way, and really with their permission, through spirit, clearing out energetics that are most disruptive for them, regardless of where that's coming from. So I'm really beginning that transmission of healing energy to them before they come into the room and even before I arrive in their city. So that's one way that I work with a group. And while they're in the room, I will also continue to be setting that field of intention. In Qigong, it's called a qi field, creating the energy environment for people to feel safe, to feel more calm, and to be able to enter into some discussion around what's going on and how they can take care of themselves. So that preset is really powerful, and it's very satisfying for me. It makes my job easier for one thing, and it helps us to get things done in this workshop setting more quickly. So that, because they're not plowing through whatever happened before they even got into the office that morning. So when I'm working with an individual in a session, it's the same kind of thing. I may begin in advance of our actual meeting, either in person or by phone or Skype, to look at the energy and to have a sensation of what that energy is, and to begin to allow my hands to be moving as they are guided by the energies around me that are guiding me. So it's not like I'm thinking, well, I need to, you know, gee, that person's, you know, I know that they're coming in with a problem, so what's the problem, and let me just check on what the problem is. So that's not the approach. It's really a very general clearing of energy that I can see as a preliminary activity. And then when we are in session, I hear what's the specific, what is it that is most on my mind. And sometimes it's something immediate and serious, and for others it's a question of who am I and what am I doing here. And so then that opens up the field even more for the guidance that I can offer. And then the really guided healing that comes through to clear something out, or to open space, or to lift and boost the energy of the individual in a way that's available to them to act, to choose on about what they are planning. And the thing about the fear that's going on now, and the energetics of our political environment, and the left half and the right half, which seem to be so evenly divided. For me, that started really with an intentional and clear choice in one of the last presidential elections, when a candidate was one who I kept finding myself engaged in zinging and getting involved in the, oh my gosh, can we believe that?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a, and you know, there's a part of us where we kind of like that juiciness. And there was a point where I had to make a choice to stop reading about that person and to stop engaging with others in conversation about what was just said. So it started with an intentional decision to be conscious of when I was getting pulled into that and to literally say to myself, stop. So that's something that is a stepping in point for people in terms of their own mindfulness, to be aware of what's going on and to make a choice to stop it. Don't engage. Turn off the television. Stop listening to the hate and the rhetoric and the anger that has such a grip on people. And when you begin to notice when people in that state are saying things that are not rational, they don't make good sense. They're incongruent with, for example, the role that we want to see our country, for example, playing in the world. And so to make a choice and recognize that that's what's going on and just don't buy in. A lawyer years ago told me after I'd gotten kind of a threatening letter from someone, and I called and said, oh, what am I going to do? This is so awful. He said, do not engage. And I've countless times said that to myself and others in all kinds of situations. Do not engage. And it starts with me on the inside.
It's how we play into it or get played into it. Because, I mean, with the media, it's really hard, and especially with all the repetitive, you know, bringing things up and what I call re-traumatizing everyone. You know, it's like, you know, we can back off of it a little bit. Let's not look at all the bad, but let's look at some of the good that's come out of it as well. You know, and I even that shows more of a collective, an international collective, you know, that we've been, you know, kind of talking about a little bit, you know, as to what's really happening right now, you know, with everything. And it is more of a collective consciousness than a I'm going to take, you know, the bull by the horns by myself type thing, which I think is the healthier.
Yes. We give up our peace and joy when we give it over to someone else to run our energies. So, you know, we often say things like, he made me so mad. Well, you choose to be mad.
Yeah.
Yes, there's an instigation there. And another thing that I have lived by for many years since I did neurolinguistic programming training back in the early 80s was we always do the very best we can at any given moment. And for me, that's a way of putting things into perspective. That for that moment that I decided to dive into that muck, well, I got a little carried away there. And when I'm aware of it, choice, a better choice. And so when I look at others and the choices that they're making, and I give a moment to that, allows for me compassion to arise, compassion for others, compassion for those who commit terrible acts. If they had a better choice to make, for the sake of their soul or for the sake of their communities or for the sake of innocent people around them, they would. And yet, looking at individuals in that state, it's clear that they are completely emotionally hijacked in the moment. There's not a rational thought in there. They're acting in whatever way they have planned and plotted to do. And in that moment, they can't stop if they don't have the intention to do that. And of course, they don't have the intention to do that. So that energy that is so prevalent, and we talked a little bit, we've talked a little bit a couple times, Rhonda, about this collective consciousness awareness. I have had some experiences in the last couple of months with an awareness that what the work that I'm doing is no longer connected to or coming through or from an entity of some, whether it's an entity that's been alive on the planet. And years ago, I channeled Joseph, of Joseph and Mary. And, you know, that felt really solid to me. And I've been close to Archangel Michael and had messages from him from time to time. And now it's not about one connection. The connection is more to what I'm thinking and I'm hearing is the collective consciousness that is coming to us from divine source. And, you know, there are some who attribute energy from the Pleiades and from other places. But it's all of that. And so I had started having that sense a couple of months ago when I was in a session with someone, and it just felt to me like that there was this huge energetic field in the room that appeared suddenly, and it was not it wasn't part of my intention setting. It was just there. And I had another experience of that in early October. I was at a wisdom healing Qigong healing intensive retreat here in Colorado Springs with the master Ming Tonggu, who is the leader in the U.S. With his work. And during a morning session from 9 until noon with Ming Tong in front of the group of about 60 people, I sat in my chair and went into the deepest trance I have ever experienced. I was barely aware of what was going on in the room, and then only in a few moments. Everybody in the room got up and did a practice, and the people sitting behind me recognized something was going on, so they kind of were kind of keeping an eye on me. And at noon, when everybody broke for lunch, I kind of came out of it, and a couple of people walked me up to lunch, and I just couldn't be there in that group, and I went and took a nap for 45 minutes or so. And I didn't know what was going on at all. I had no conscious awareness. However, the next day, I had a message. I had just an inclination to start writing, and I started writing, and I wrote two pages in my notebook of a message that was so clear and so powerful and so directed toward what was described as an orientation for the work that I'm doing to rise to a higher plane, if you will, a higher dimension or a different space, for the purpose of influencing, guiding, and shifting influential people on the planet in ways that would increase the benefit of their collective positions and roles in the world toward the healing that is being called for. So that's kind of the general gist of it. It was two pages to say all of that, but it had a tremendous impact on me in terms of what am I doing here? Oh, wow. You know, this is really bigger than working one-on-one with individuals. And so this energy then also showed up in a session I did with a close friend a few weeks ago where there was it was a channeled message for her, and I don't remember what went on in that particularly, but it was clearly channeled as opposed to being what I've been doing in sessions one-on-one, where the information is really intuitive and I'm much more conscious of it, and I'm getting images and metaphors, and it's really a very conversational setting with the person in session with me. This was not conversational. It was a directed message for the person that I was doing this reading with. And it came from this collective consciousness of incredibly light, energy, and beings. So that's kind of what's been up for me recently. I mean, just really, we scheduled this call, and then all of that began to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's some connectivity going on here. What do you think?
Oh, I think so, too, you know, and the listeners around the world who listen to this in the archives as well as live, you know, are, you know, showing interest in, you know, what is really happening and how can we do this together rather than all this segregation or different things. You know, it's like we're all part of the jewel, as I speak of, you know, we're all facets in the jewel, and there isn't one that's better or bigger or more knowledgeable than another. It's, you know, we all are there to help give the strength to one another, you know, to stay together in that jewel form, you know. And I just find it very interesting how, you know, there are people trying to draw lines in the sand, and then there's other ones that are going, you know, that's too harsh, you know, we need to do it a little differently, you know, because, you know, not everyone fits the bill just because of where they come from, you know, and give people a chance to find out who they really are and who we are with them in our lives, you know, and look for the gift there, you know. And it's just amazing how it all comes together and, you know, and how it interplays with each other, you know. And, you know, and you channeled for quite some time, you know, and then haven't, you know, for quite some time. And, you know, it's where I think a lot of our gifts are being brought more to the forefront and definitely more there for us to access rather than just sitting, you know, with it being dormant. You know, I think it gets dormant for a while so that we can really experience it again when it starts to happen again, as far as channeling or being intuitive and kind of having this hunch, you know, of what's going on with this person's energy before you ever meet them.
Mm-hmm. And there is this, I am having this sense as well. I heard a speaker last Friday night here in Colorado Springs, Chief Robert Talltree, and he was just he was magnificently dressed in his tribal clothing. And he told a story about someone who, when he was playing flute years ago, or some years ago, that a flute maker said to him, "You are better than your flutes." And so this flute maker made him a flute that was just very, very specially for him. He played that flute, and as he was playing it, I had this sense of kind of an enlightening moment around the work that I'm doing, that this is not about me being in some position to be doing things for the person I'm in session with or the group. It's not that I'm doing something for them. It's that we are working together to create that energetic. And so he was given the gift of this flute, and then he gave us the gift of playing it. And at the end, he said, "Thank you." And then he said, "Thank you" in his native language, and it was obviously longer than "Thank you." It went on for, you know, several seconds, and it sounded beautiful. And he said, "What that means is, thank you for being here with my gift, and it's a gift for you to come to me in this audience." And so I kind of was getting this connectivity of, wow, I'm not just, you know, playing my flute or doing my sessions. We're in it together in a way that I had not obviously seen with quite that clarity. So that got me really excited too about welcoming the people that I'm meeting, whether they're in this class that I'm doing in a few weeks with people that I've, Some of them I've known before, and some of them are new to me. But I thought, wow, I'm so excited to to be open to what the gift is that they're bringing, not only to me into that session, but to all the people around them, rippling out their coworkers who are not going to be in this session, as well as their families. They live in a busy city. They commute, and they're in contact with people far more than I am in Colorado Springs on a given day. There's just much more humanity. And I just got excited about seeing what begins to emerge from that.
Yes, and so much is emerging right now that it's just like, it's kind of like the spiritual marketplace, you know, we're here and we get to, you know, choose, you know, what we want to listen to and how we want to approach it and how we want to move with it and how we want to share it with others, you know, because I think a lot of it is, too, is people are more open to sharing what's going on with them now, you know, than what they were before. And that is the gift of us, you know, sharing our gift with other people and them sharing their gifts with us. And it just quantifies it and makes it bigger, I think, in a lot of ways. And, you know, call or listeners and callers, if you want to talk to Judith or ask a question or have a comment, dial 1-347-838-9142. And she is available for private sessions. Judith, can you tell them how to get a hold of you and what you're doing the first part of December?
Yes. I will be in Colorado Springs, if you're local, at a small metaphysical event at Library 21C. And I'll be doing short sessions all day long, and then late in the afternoon. I just got permission this morning from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock that day, just before the event closes, to do a 45-minute or so program on emotions and spirituality. And the background I have in the emotional intelligence work gives me the knowledge, experience, and wisdom about our emotions to provide some information in that setting to people about how they can work with their own emotions and how that contributes to our spiritual path and our capacity for spirituality in terms of influencing and affecting ourselves and the worlds around us. I'm looking forward to that. My website is judithlightintuitive.com. And there's a phone number there, and the website at the moment, after a changeover from Microsoft 7 to Microsoft 10 and some redirection of Outlook, the email address on that is currently not receiving. So I'll give an alternative, and I expect to have it fixed within a day or so. The alternative is judith1light@gmail.com. And I hope people will visit the website. I so loved working with the people who designed it for me, and it just gives me a feeling of peace and joy when I look at it and when I kind of experience it. So that's something that I think just the energetics of that is on offer. So I'm also in January expecting that I will be at a location here in Colorado Springs called Nature's Soul Purpose, and it's in an old bookstore on the west side of town. And I'll be there half a day a week on Friday afternoon, available for either walk-in or appointment face-to-face sessions. Otherwise, I work very easily by telephone or by Skype.
Yes, and with Skype, it's very much like you're in the room and you're there, and it you know, and it's nice to be able to see the person on the other side rather than just on the phone. But it works in all ways, and Judith is amazing to work with. I met her at a healing festival, Music and Magic in the Mountain. And, you know, I just really feel that you have a really strong message to share with the audience and with the world, you know, because you're really tying in the energy and the emotions and the repetitive thoughts and how to free up that energy so that it's not so stuck or stale, I guess, is kind of how I see it. And then you help people to re-energize themselves. And, you know, I think that's just really beautiful how you do that. If you could you tell us what a session, how the healing and how it shows up in a session?
Yes. When I was channeling Joseph in the late 90s, at the end of every session, and I was doing whole life expos along the West Coast, Los Angeles, Pasadena, Seattle, Santa Fe, Denver, and then some locally produced metaphysical events. So when I was doing face-to-face, and then even when I was on the phone with people, this was before Skype, at the end of every session, the instruction from Joseph would be, hold my gaze. And we would lock eyes, and people would, it would just be like that intense exchange when you're looking eye to eye with someone and you're really being present with them. And the energetic of that, when that was received, or when that had the influence on the person that I was working with, there would often be, sometimes there'd be tears, and sometimes there would just be a relaxation, or somebody that would smile, their face would relax, and sometimes I didn't see anything, or, you know, there was nothing visible, and that always was such a curiosity to me, to that energy in holding that gaze while I was in that channel trance had an effect on people. And now, 14 or so years later, having worked with Wisdom Healing Qigong, which has, I've been doing that for about 9 years, I had one of those, here, go do this kind of things, and went to a couple of sessions, classes here in Colorado Springs, and looked on the internet at the Qi Center, and they had a trip to China coming up in like 8 weeks. And I kept looking at it like, really? I should go to China? Okay. So next thing I know, I paid my deposit and was making my plane reservations. And I spent 21 days with Ming Tong in southern China at a little resort with about 20 other people. And it was a really pretty profound time for me, not in terms of physical healing, although there was someone with Parkinson's and heart disease and MS and Lyme's disease, and they had some remarkable experiences. Mine was there as a spiritual change. And so for me, that experience of healing some things for myself in that energy was the foundation for the beginning of the healing that I'm doing at this time. And just kind of a quick aside, when I was there, people were having these physical experiences, and I, in my hotel room, about the second day, I became aware that I was imagining a very large, black, thick snake. Now, that wouldn't sit well with some people, and I was really happy that he never decided to get on my bed as a, you know, place to rest. He stayed in the end of the room down by the windows in the sunshine. And it wasn't that he was threatening. It was just heavy feeling. And you know, I guess dark, kind of dark energy. And then one afternoon during our afternoon nap, I was in a little bit of a light nap, and I was dreaming, kind of a waking dreaming, that that snake had wrapped itself around my left leg. And in this dreaming, I banged on the wall so the guy next door could come and help me get the snake undone. And in my dreaming, he did. We unwrapped the snake and we put it out through the open windows across the hall. Of course, Steve, when I told him the story that afternoon later, he said, no way was I going to be touching that snake. Good thing it was a dream. So the next day or so, another snake appeared, and this one was almost pearlescent. It was very dainty, and this time it was very definitely feminine. And she also stayed in that space. And for me, just taking what the, I mean, I didn't really process or rationalize what that all was about. It was just clearly a very spiritual transition. And I laugh when I think about that feminine snake because, honestly, Rhonda, she smiled at me. You know, people don't think of snakes as being smiling at you, but that for me was kind of another one of those milestone spiritual transformative moments that that I just still carry with me with such gratitude to be in that place at that time, in that powerful chi field of healing that worked its magic for me. So now when I talk about doing healing, that's informing how I understand healing. And that's a hard word kind of, you know, it's a hard word for people to kind of work with sometimes. I think it's like, oh, I do healing. Well, it's like I'm doing something to somebody. And in this new context, what it feels to me is that I am receiving information in the energy field that I am translating or transmitting, communicating, providing to whoever I'm working with, so that in the wisdom of their own chi field, their own energy field, they now have the formula for transformation that they are initiating. And that feels powerful to me, that it's, again, it's kind of our collective consciousness together. I'm not designing something. I'm not applying something. I'm communicating energy from the universal chi field that is formulated for that person at that time, at that moment, where they are, for their greatest well-being and healing. And that's been kind of an exciting transition for me. And the way it looks, if you're looking at me, and you know, you experience this with me, is that my hands and arms begin to move. And they're doing that right now. If you were looking at me, my hands are working out here all by themselves. I'm not thinking about it. My hands are just being guided to move through the energy fields. And I don't have any real conscious energy or awareness or rationalization about, well, this is going to Paris. I don't know that. It's doing what it's intended to do from this collective consciousness. And so that just gives me goosebumps to think about that and to be a part of what's going on with so many people. And there are so many people who are working toward all of the same end, and everybody has something different, to a different way of approaching that. And everybody is getting exactly what they need when they show up, whether it's on a radio program, because people on this call are getting a transmission of some kind, and that's what my hands are moving about. Or whether you're listening to a webinar with one of the several who are, you know, on daily. You could listen all day, every day to those programs and learn about abundance and healing and relationships, and there are always topics. And everybody is showing up where they need to be with powerful intention that has so opened our potential to make a difference and to change the world. And so that experience just continues to amaze and awe me. I don't take it for granted at all. I just continue to be really in reverence with this partnership, this coalition or collaboration of beings and energies, and those of us who walk on this ground of the earth every single day. And my hands are going to continue. My hands are just continuing to move things around out here.
You know, and for the listeners, you can get this down. You can download this show after the show finishes in about 10 minutes. and it'll be like 5-10 minutes after the hour when it's available, and you can download it, share it with anyone you want, re-listen to it, stop it, play it, rewind it, you know, so that you can get whatever nuggets that are there for you. And you can do that at www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford and look up the roadmap for seekers. Or you can call in and ask Judas some questions or make some comments in regards to how this show's affected you at 1-347-838-9142. Press 1 once so I can see you in the back. If you're on the website, you can go to the Skype button and it'll call you in by Skype, and then hit the addition button and you can find the dial pad there. And Judith, you know, we've talked about, you know, how you work with people, and I've worked with you, and, you know, you explained a lot of things that were going on with me without really knowing what was going on with me, you know, in regards to seeing these portals of light instead of these dark wormholes that you think you're going to go through when you're transmitting different information. And, you know, for me, it's been more of a portal of a light and then like these little strands of information all making a collective, you know, changing up the energy and moving it differently. And have you or do you feel that you have a message for the audience, you know, from the divine today, or do you feel more that it's about the collective and people getting that information, that, you know, the more we join with other people, the stronger the world's going to get and the more it's going to heal?
You know, actually, I thought that there might be a channeled message, and what I'm understanding is that this is an energetic channel transmission,
mm-hmm.
to everyone that I'm doing, and that will stay with this program even beyond. So if you listen,
mm-hmm.
to it whenever, that the energy that's occurring as I'm moving is transmitted continuously, and it will continue even for those who are on the call today beyond this call. It's setting in motion energetics that will affect people in different ways, and at the same time, there's an information strand here of awareness for people to notice where things that looked highly unlikely 24 hours ago in terms of, you know, somebody communicating or somebody talking or somebody taking an action that's unexpected and different. And that this information is for you to begin to be really consciously aware of people around you who make a kind of a change of heart, if you will, people out,
mm-hmm.
in the world, in politics and in all kinds of situations where things begin to shift, and it may not be immediate and it may not be very big. I noticed a week ago when President Obama met with Vladimir Putin when they were at the climate summit in Turkey, and they had a conversation side by side. That, you know, you could hope for that, and they could as easily have avoided one another. And so
right.
That's the kind of thing that I noticed just in the last week that showed up. So the transmitted message here is in the energetics that are really powerful, and I'm seeing kind of what you and I talked about, Rhonda, is like golden streams or threads,
mm-hmm.
that are moving out all around the globe wherever there are listeners, and that within that is what you individually can take from this and add to your own collective consciousness in exchange for what you have brought to this call today, for which I'm so appreciative of those of you listening now and in the future.
And once again, can you tell them how to get a hold of you by your website and where you'll be in Colorado Springs the first weekend in December?
Yes. The website is judithlightintuitive.com. There is a contact form that you may use, and I will make sure I get that working here in the next day or so. Or you can use the email judith1light@gmail.com. And December 5th, I'll be at Library 21C in Colorado Springs from 10 till 5. And that event promises to be quite a high-energy event, and lots of really highly intentional people are, my sense is, planning to come. And that would do it for that part of December. And I'm available, of course, by phone and by Skype, and we can arrange that.
Sorry about that, everyone. That's what happens with live radio. You can't always keep the animals cooped up for an hour. But
we'll take that as punctuation, Rhonda.
Yeah, exactly. It's the italics behind the conversation,
yes,
and the excitement that goes with it. Thank you so very much, Judith, for today and being on the show. You know, you can listen to this in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford, and it will get you into the main screen, and it'll show that this show has aired and that it's ready to be downloaded and listened to. You do that anytime you want, and you can download it for free. It's also on iTunes. You can reach me at searchersroadmap@gmail.com, and tomorrow I'll have another guest speaking about shamanism from Africa and where things like how she learned her shamanism from being very ill and finally taking the risk of taking the classes and the schooling for what she now does as a shaman here in the United States through her stress-based yoga with Dr. Ella McDonald. And thank you again, Judith. And for the listeners, just to give you a heads up, we're going to start changing things the first of the year, where the Roadmap for Seekers and the Searchers Roadmap both will be on Fridays, one at 11 and one at 12. And we'll just go from one adventure to the next, and we'll see how that works and how I move with the energy, so to speak, for an 2-hour session. But listeners, definitely check out the website for Judith Light, intuitive.com. And Judith, thank you so much for sharing with us today, and I'll be seeing you again the first part of December. You'll be on the show.
Yes,
so,
I will. I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah. And so we'll say goodbye for today, and I will talk to you all later, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you all.
You're
Bye.
Very welcome.